Traditionally, since last year, our day for workshops and for the audience participation time, so to speak. So today we only have one talk with a paper by Jan Orlarey, Albert Brecht and Stefan Kersten. They're doing this together. Last year I think each of them had their own talk. Now they're doing one talk together and they will explain in a minute why this is so. After that we have two more presentations to bear today by the composers, Georg Bönn and Agostino Di Scipio, who had their concert or the pieces played last night, and they will explain how these songs were done. And after that, right after the lunch break, we start with the workshops. For those of you who don't know, outside at the info desk we have a piece of paper with all of the workshops that were requested so far, including who leads them, when they start, how long they might take, and also which room. I clearly suggest that you take part any of these you're interested in and you try to bring in yourself. At the end of the conference on Sunday, we would like to present the results of the workshops. And so I will be asking those who lead the workshops to give me a few minutes and tell what has happened, what has been decided, what has been developed, whatever. Apart from that, it's now over to you three guys to explain why you're here with three computers, lots of MIDI devices. No, it's one, okay, but go ahead.
Okay, so thank you. Good morning. As you said, the presentation is basically a result of the last year's conference, and so this is why we are all three here to give this presentation. So we started last year discussing and decided to collaborate on a way to not to merge, but to have our three languages, Faust, Q, and Supertonider, to collaborate. And it was quite clear from the discussion we had at that time that having these three languages collaborating, we were able to cover a very large spectrum of DSP programming, from very detailed, fast, sample level programming with Faust to high level object-oriented programming with Super Collider, and high-order programming with Q. So we decided to make our three languages to operate together and improve the way they can communicate. So the goal of this presentation is to give you a kind of overview of how these three languages can be used to do effective DSP programming. So I will start with Faust, then Stefan will give a presentation of Super Collider plus Faust, and then Albert will conclude, and for many hours, Q, Super Collider, and Faust. And this afternoon at 3 p.m. we will have a workshop for those that want to go into deeper details of these three systems. So I will start with Faust. So basically, Faust is two things. Is a specification language for signal processing and a compiler which is able to translate these specifications into efficient C++ code. And the third point is to be able from one specification to derive implementation for a variety of platforms and plugin formats. The language is somehow quite particular because it combines two approaches, block diagram composition and functional programming. So the advantages of this approach are a very simple and very modular semantic, and this is very important in order to compile efficient code. As we will see, the compilation process is deeply connected to the fact that we are able to discover the meaning of Faust program in a very easy way. The functional approach gives a very natural way to handle signals are function of time, signal processor as function of signals, and even block diagram composition are function on signal processors. And the functional programming gives you also very powerful ways to combine modules, components together. So basically, as I said, with Faust you do a specification of a signal processor. So you must think of this signal processor as a black box that take some input signals and produce some output signals. And the semantic of thoughts is very mathematical. It's very close to the mathematics of signal processing. So I won't go too much into the detail of the formalization, but it's, this is a very important fact. As I said before, from a single specification, you are able to generate a variety of formats, of output formats. So you can quite easily add new one by providing what is called an architecture file. So currently we have SuperCollider provided by Stefan, LabSpa plugin, Lipson file application, ALSA GTK application, JAG GTK application, VST plugin provided by Remy Muller, Max NSP plugins, and Q plugins provided by Albert Greff. There are many others that are missing, so we are looking for a volunteer to make a new architecture file for other platforms. A FOSS program is basically a list of definitions, and there must be one definition for the keyword process, which is the equivalent of main in C++. And when you compile that, it generates a C++ class with basically five methods. One that gives you the number of input of the plug of the object, of the signal processor, the number of output, a way to initialize the signal processor, a way to build the user interface from a very abstract level description, and a way to code the computation for the signals. You give the input sample, the output buffers, and it fill the output buffers with the input samples transformed. So, I will explain a little bit the block diagram algebra. So you can, but it is a bit invisible. Okay, this is a block diagram. I just want to explain the role of the algebra. So instead of being a visual programming language where you connect the blocks, the outputs of some blocks to the inputs of other blocks, here we are in a purely textual language. So the question is, how do we represent this kind of graphs into a purely textual language? Obviously, if we represent that as a list of connections saying, okay, we have input 2 of block blah 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 connected to output 3 of block blah blah blah, it's not a programming language for human. It's adequate for machine, but not for human. So we have to invent a formalization, a way to describe this graph in a textual way. And this is the role of the block diagram algebra. Is it more readable for you? Okay, so this is an example of a very simple block diagram, and here is the algebraic representation of this block diagram. So you can see here three operations of the algebra that are used. The split operation that connects the outputs of A to the inputs of B, C, D. The parallel composition operation, the comma sign here. And the merge operation that combines the output of B, C, D to the input of E. So basically we have five operations. I will explain these five operations. So you have sequential composition. So sequential composition is very close to the function composition we are used to and that we learn at school. So basically you connect the output of A to the corresponding input of B, and if B has more inputs than A has outputs, you have this scheme here, and on the other reverse side you have this scheme here. So you have parallel composition, then you have split composition. So the rule for split composition is that the number of inputs of B should be a multiple of the number of outputs of A, and then you connect for example input here 3 of B, you take 3 modulo 2, 2 being the number of output of A, and you connect to this output of A. So here output 1 of A. The merge composition is the reverse. Obviously when you have several signals that come to are connected to a single input, they are added. And then you have the recursive composition here. Oops. So the recursive composition is the most complex one. You connect the for each input of B, you connect to the corresponding output of A with a one sample delay, obviously. And then you connect all the output of B to the corresponding input of A. The inputs of the resulting composition are the inputs of A that are not connected to some output of B, and the outputs of the resulting composition are all the outputs of A. Okay. You have also to add the identity and the cut, so I will skip that. So the advantages of this approach, that first of all, it's powerful enough to represent any block diagrams. It gives you a very concise and adequate textual representation for graphs. It can use to formalize very easily the semantic in an easier way than the graph approach, the semantic of the language. And it's suitable for all the traditional things that you do on programming language, all the formal manipulation, etc. So what are the building blocks that you connect with this algebra? Basically, all the functions that you have in C on numbers exist in Faust on signals. So we have two kinds of signals, integer signals and floating point signals. And for all the functions of C, you have the equivalent functional signal in Faust. So you have built in most of the mathematical functions that you have in C. And the other one, more exotic, you can implement them using external declaration. So you say that, well, an external declaration. You have some specific primitive objects that are related to Faust, that are basically one sample memories, fixed delays, read-only tables, and read-write tables. Read-only tables are typically used to implement oscillators, for example, and read-write tables typically used to implement echoes, delay lines, etc. And you have also an abstract way to describe the user interface. So basically, you have user interface elements that produce signals, like buttons, checkbox, sliders. You have user interface elements that represent signals, like bar graphs, and you have different ways to lay out these user interface elements horizontally, vertically, and in tabs. So these are basically the building blocks. Okay, here it's a very simple Faust program. So we are describing signal processor. So the plus primitive in Faust is a signal processor. It takes two input signals and produce an output signal, which is the addition of the two signals. And here the way you write that. So again, a Faust program is a list of definition, and you should have a definition from the keyword process. Here's a more complex a noise generator. So you can see here, we start by defining a random number generator in a very simple way. Basically, you take the previously generated random number, you multiply it by this number here, and you add to the result this number here to produce a new value. So it's a way to do a random number generator, and then you scale this random number generator so that it fits between minus 1 and plus 1. So you see here the Faust description using here the recursive composition operator. And here you have the one sample delay of the recursive composition. Okay, so here the same noise generator, but adding user interface elements. So we multiply the output of the signals by the checkbox called mute. But the checkbox element generates a signal which is 1 when the checkbox is checked and 0 otherwise. So by taking 1 minus the checkbox, you have a mute control, so to speak. and a level control. Okay, I have no time to go into all these descriptions. I will just make a very short demo and then explain how the compilation process works. So, just a few minutes left.
Thank you, Tom.
Okay.
I will go on for hours anyway.
Okay, so here are some examples of FAUST programs, and I will maybe concentrate on the mixer description. So, here's the code. Can you read it? More or less? Okay, so basically, I say that a mixer is a group of 8 voices in parallel, and I merge the output of these 8 voices into a stereo bus here. A voice, what is a voice? Is a mute control, then a volume control, a view meter, and a pan, stereo pan. This is the way I describe the mixer. And for that I use 3 components, volume, view meter, and pan pot, which are described here. For example, the pan pot is here. So basically I take the input signal, X, and I multiply it for the left part by 1 minus C and for the right part by C. Well, it's a very simplistic way to do a pan pot, but just for the example. And this coefficient is controlled by a numerical entry that I can change. Okay, so now if I compile that, I have a makefile. So this makefile will compile all the .dsp files in my folder and generate a JackGTK application for each of these ones. So you will see appear a folder called JackGTK.
Black and white.
Right. Is it better? In black and white.
Oops.
Okay, so now the all these examples are compiled, and here I have this. So I will just start our mixer here and check that it works. And here to make some sound, I have a group of 32 couplers strong together, slightly detuned. So I will connect that. Process to give you an idea. So we switch back to here. So basically it's a semantic compilation. It means that you don't compile what the user, the block diagram defined by the user, but what the block diagram really computes. This is why the semantic aspects are very important. We need to be able to discover what is the computation represented by the block diagram. To do that, we do a symbolic propagation. And so to discover the equation of each output signal according to the input signal. Then you normalize this equation, so to discover common sub-expression and to be able to simplify the computation. And then you do several other things in order to generate the code. So I would just show you the code generated by the mixer, and you will see that it's, first of all, it's a code that is self-contained. It doesn't depend, obviously, of any DSP library, and it's also very optimized. So here is the mixer code, for example. So the code here is the result of merging the architecture file for ChatGPT application and the computation described by the first program. So it goes to the here the computation itself, the description of the user interface of the mixer, and the computation of the samples, and here the loop that computes the outputs. So basically you can see a first kind of optimization that is done by the compiler. So we discovered that some signals involve computation of on user interface elements, and this computation can be taken out of the main loop to be in order to be computed once per block. So this is all this what you see in this line here, and the output signal is computed here. So here you have the computation of the envelope detection that is used for the view meters, and here the computation of the output signal. So each input signal is multiplied by one coefficient, which is computed just one per block, because it depends of the sliders and of the conversion of the sliders. Okay, so maybe I will just stop here to leave time to my friends. Okay, thank you.
Okay, so I'm going to give a short overview over SuperCollider and then present the false interface to SuperCollider. SuperCollider in its current incarnation is a client-server architecture with a synthesis server called SCSynth and a language client called SCLang. And both are communicating via open sound control over standard network connections. And SCSynth is actually responsible for generating sound output, while SCLang is used for sequencing, controlling SCSynth, algorithmic composition, and so on. SCSynth executes nodes organized in a graph or a tree, and the leaves of the nodes, the actual synths, generate the actual audio. So the synth nodes roughly correspond to instruments in T-Sound, for example, and they themselves are graphs of C-code unit generators or units. And those units are, or unit generator plugins are actually generated by the Faust SuperCollider backend. So units are loaded from shared object files. They have a defined programming interface. The other types of groups are group. The other types of nodes in the server are group nodes, which are used to group entities on the server together, so you can manipulate them together. For example, if you want to set arguments to synths, you can put all those synths in a group
and set the arguments for each synthesis loop. I think there's also a little diagram, so this is kind of a representation of the data structure in the server. So what you can see is nodes are identified by integer IDs, which are handed to the node, so you can manipulate the node with OC commands. Of course, you can nest like in the group 2 and group 3, you can nest groups, so you can create arbitrarily deep node structures on the server. SCLang, on the other hand, is a language interpreter. It's an object-oriented language, very similar to Smalltalk, but also borrows from Ruby, from Lisp, and other languages. It's a very efficient bytecoded implementation with real-time execution semantics, which means that, for example, method lookup takes place in constant time, like in C++, and the real-time garbage collector, in theory, can provide hard real-time scheduling characteristics. There's a very comprehensive class library present in the SuperCollider language, which can be used for scheduling, for sequencing, dealing with patterns, streams, and the actual synthesis nodes on the server. So there are objects representing nodes on the server, and we can manipulate them from the SuperCollider language. But it's important to note that the language is just one possible or thinkable client to the server, so you can write your own programs to control the server with open sound control. So how does Faust relate to SuperCollider? Why do we want to write plugins in Faust? I think there are mainly two reasons. One is that writing plugins or ESP plugins efficiently in C and SuperCollider is of course possible, but it's sometimes very tedious. And writing code that is reusable across plugins, and especially making code reusable efficiently across plugins, is also very hard. So we write macros to inline code into other plugins, but this is obviously a very tedious and error-prone process. Faust, on the other hand, is very expressive. The language is very easy compared to C. It's the semantics are closely related to the a block diagram representation. So things like state and recursion are handled implicitly and very very easily. Faust produces efficient code. It can produce code compared to entropy code. And of course, it encourages reuse because reuse in Faust usually doesn't come with a cost, as in C, for example, with additional function calls or something. So, I think Jan already provided an overview of the architecture files. So, what's necessary to interface to SuperCollider is an architecture file, supercollider.cpp, which adheres to the SuperCollider plugin API and generates a C++ plugin. And another component is a Faust 2SC Ruby script. Albert has also written a Q script to do the same thing, which generates SuperCollider class files from an XML representation, which can offer a ESP diagram, which can be generated by Faust. So they are corresponding to the client-server architecture. There are two parts in the interface. The one is the interface to the server, and the other one is the interface to the language. So a broad overview. We have the DSP file and the architecture file, and files can generate a .cpp file actually, and from this GCC can generate a loadable plugin. And files can also generate an XML file, which is then converted to a SC file. That's more or less all. I'm going to play a short sample, and anything else can be asked or presented in the workshop. So, Dan also already played a couple strong examples. I just wanted to check something different. So this is a band-limited impulse train derived from the SDK Blit unit generator, and it's just an example to show that Faust plugins can be used just like any SuperCollider region.
So this is the third part of the talk, and I hope not to continue for hours and hours. Just a few brief notes on building on stuff we heard about Faust and SuperCollider, and now on top of this I have a third level I can set there, which is the Q programming languages, a language which I introduced last year in last year's LAC, and that was kind of a start of this collaboration. And so I want to report on some of the progress to use Faust plugins inside Q directly, and then also via SuperCollider. Part of this is still work in progress, and I will show some of that too. Okay, just for those of you who weren't there in last year's LAC or who've forgot all about Q, just a few remarks. So how do programs look like in Q? You've seen Faust programs now. Q is also a functional programming language, but it's not based on lambda calculus. Rather, it's based on algebraic equations or terminal writing. And so your programs are just, well, they look like mathematical algebraic theories. They're just a collections of equations. This, at first sight, this looks rather esoteric, and most people ask me whether this can be, those programs can be interpreted at all or efficiently, and this is actually the case. So, Stefan mentioned that that SuperCollider, for instance, has to do constant time method lookup in an object-oriented language so that it can be used in real time. In Q, Q is not supposed to work in hard real-time situations, but also a guarantee that we have is that for a given program, the lookup of a matching equation happens in constant time. So it is suitable to do real-time stuff, at least from that perspective. Now, how are the equations actually used? Well, they're used by just rewriting terms, and you all learned how to do that in high school, I guess. By applying algebraic equations, you rewrite a part of one term into another, perform a replacement step, and then go on and on until no more equations apply, and then you have a final expression, which can be, for instance, an integer value, but it doesn't have to be, it can be any expression. If there are no more equations which apply to it, it's just the value of the original expression. So that's a very, for me, it's the most simple way that you can define computation. You just rewrite until there's nothing to be rewritten anymore. And it's a universal model of computation, so you can show that it's Turing complete, of course. It's a general programming language. And at the beginning of the 90s, when I devised the algorithmic stuff behind Q, I had the idea, okay, why not make it a practical programming language? And this is what I, well, more or less in the beginning as a hobby project, in the last few years at least as a part-time project, that's what I've been working on. So an example of this terminal writing thing is here, to be seen here. So we have a term, square 2. We have this definition up there, square of x reduces to x times x. So, and that's the way this is applied. You see applications of this equation, square x equals x times x. So in the first rewriting step up there, I can show. Do we have some stick or something? I always need that. No. Okay, then I try to do it with a mouse cursor. So we have this equation here to apply, and it applies to this subterm here. So I can rewrite this to 2 times 2, and then I can take the rewriting step by built-in arithmetic, which will reduce this to 4, and so on. Oh, that's very nice.
No, it's very strong enough.
Yeah. So 2 times 2, can you see this?
Almost.
2 times 2 gets reduced to 4 here. So the next step will be to reduce 2 plus 3 to 5, and then the equation up here gets applied again to this. We call this a redex. All this stuff comes from computer algebra and symbolic algebra, or a field of mathematical logics which is called universal algebra. So there's a well-developed theory which explains the semantics of terminal writing, and so that's the basis of Q. I've a few more examples down here, just that you get a brief idea what the language looks like. So if you want to implement Euclid's algorithm for computing the greatest common divisor of two numbers, it's quite a basic thing to do. The algorithm goes like this. Well, if you have two numbers, x and y, they're supposed to be non-negative, and one of them, well, let's say y is greater than 0, then you can compute x mod y, and take y and compute the greatest common divisor of those two. And as it turns out, well, if you do this long enough, then one of the numbers will become 0, and at that time you can break out of the recursion and just say, okay, x is the solution if y becomes 0. So this is the, you just need two equations in Q to describe this algorithm. And so the points that are illustrated here is that we can have conditional equations. So we have a condition of that equation here, namely the condition that y is greater than 0. And we have tail recursion. In this case, tail recursion means, well, recursion means GC div is again invoked here on the right-hand side, so the function is defined in terms of itself. And tail recursion means that the recursive invocation is at the end of the evaluation of the right-hand side. So that's what we have as an equivalent for iteration in conventional programming language. The Q interpreter, of course, optimizes those tail recursive invocations away so that they get executed in constant memory space.
Another aspect of the Q language is those local variable definitions here. So on the you don't have that in basic terminal writing theory, but Q has it. So you have the possibility to compute a value here and assign it to variables over here, and then you can use those values on the right-hand side of an equation, local variable definitions. Another very nice aspect about terminal writing in general, of course, is that you get pattern matching for free. Well, terminal writing is actually about pattern matching and then rewriting according to the match pattern. So, as a simple example, I hope you can read it. I see that this is supposed to be black, but apparently I have to overhaul those slides. Okay, the quicksort algorithm, how do you quicksort a list? Well, if it's the empty list, then just give back the empty list. And if you have a list starting out with an element x and continuing with some other element x's, then, well, you just take out the x, sort recursively the part of the list which is less than x, sort recursively the part of the list which is greater or equal than x, and put x in the middle. So this is what happens on the right hand side here. But the main point here, this definition is this argument, which you can't do in an ordinary functional language. Also in Faust, when you define something, you define a function and it has a parameter, but you can't really pattern. You can't really pattern match the parameter. You can easily do that here. So I just write a prototype for the a pattern for the list value, which takes the parts of the list value also away. So this is a very concise and elegant way to specify functions. I won't go into this because Jan already discussed this. I won't go into this either. I already mentioned last year that, well, as Q is supposed to be a practical language, of course we have to provide some libraries. The complaints you usually hear about modern style functional programming languages like Haskell and ML from people who want to really apply those languages because they like the idea of functional programming is, well, those guys, they always care about compilers and stuff like this and language theory, but you don't have any supporting libraries if you do want to do some graphics programming or computer music programming. And while it has become a little better in the past years because people have actually started using ML and Haskell also to do a bit of graphics programming, but still, when you want to do some real-time computer music stuff, you're pretty much on your own because there's no libraries available for those languages for these kinds of applications. The situation is very much different in Q. I consider Q a kind of, from the language perspective, as a kind of little cousin to ML and Haskell, but in the library department it has much more to offer than those languages. So in particular, we also have this OpenGL stuff, we have graphics, we have GUI stuff, we even have our own GUI builder now, and we have a standard library which implements all the usual stuff that you need to do to really exploit functional programming for your problems. So you have very many generic list functions, for instance. We have streams, so streams as a lazy kind of lists which only produce the elements on demand and so on. And we have a POSIX system interface, we have a general C interface via SWIG, which is the simplified wrapper interface generator, and we have up there all those multimedia stuff. And what's actually new since last year is this part of the interface, and also this part keeps improving now. And okay, so there's quite a bit of surrounding library we have, so that you can, which you can use to write real applications. And this was one important point for the Faust interface, because Faust doesn't provide this on its own. It relies on the architectures to provide everything else but DSP. Faust is tailored to DSP and nothing else. Similarly, when you work with SuperCollider, you are working in a certain environment. SuperCollider language is not a general purpose programming language per se. It's a kind of, while it's fairly general as an object-oriented programming language,
But as I said, you also need the library, so you wouldn't want to, you wouldn't want to use SuperCollider language for shell scripting, would you? So that's not the purpose of SuperCollider, it's tailored for a very specific task as well. So in contrast, Q's design is a general purpose programming language, so the idea was, well, actually I started with, I already knew SuperCollider and I loved it, and as soon as Jan lured me into learning and applying Faust, I really loved it, because it's also functional language, and I had really much fun taking the book from Stiglitz and programming algorithms, DSP algorithms in Faust. So the idea was to integrate all of this. I had already started and I reported on that last year with the SuperCollider interface, so that was already there. So the next step was to integrate Faust. Why did I show you that slide? I wanted to switch that. So the Faust interface. I first started with creating a direct interface to Faust, since I wanted to be able to use Faust directly in Q and the other from the other point of view, so that Faust programs can be used in a general purpose programming environment, namely Q. And what we have here now is the compilation process has already been sketched out by Jan and Stefan, so I only mentioned this very briefly. You have this DSP source file, which is a Faust source file. You compile it with the Faust compiler, and then you take the resulting C++ code, compile it with the C++ compiler, then you get a shared library, which you can load at runtime, and in Q, this is represented as a certain kind of external object, which can then be used to set control variables, retrieve control variables, and to actually produce audio and put audio into the DSP and get audio out from it. So that's the basic idea. I hope you can read it anyway. So the first simple example I also have in the paper, so you can also look it up in the proceedings. It's just a simple additive synthesizer. We have a few control variables over here, and down there is the generation process, which is just three oscillators running in parallel, mixed together. So they the frequencies are just the fundamental frequency, the octave and the fifth and the octave, and you add that together and you pass it through an ADSR envelope, and then you get some signal and you apply a gain to that signal. I have two separate variables, for volume. Volume is supposed to be a master volume, and gain is for the individual note. So this would be the Faust source code of a very simple synthesizer, which can be used directly in Q with a little program like this. I skipped some of the stuff which you need for getting at the control variables, which is a minor technical detail. You can look that up in a paper where the complete program is printed out. But the main point is here, well, you have to map those MIDI note numbers to frequency values. We all know how to do that. And similarly, you have to map the velocities in MIDI to gain values in the range 0 to 1, and then you have values you can directly use with that Faust DSP that I've shown on the last slide. And now for a monophonic synthesizer, all you have to do, all what's left to do, is to process the MIDI and set the control variables accordingly. So this is what is done by this routine here. Then we have a little loop which wraps it up, which gets MIDI input, then this little function processes MIDI input, pattern matching again here, so you see that. And I have those little functions play and damp, which are defined up here, which do nothing more than set control variables. So that would be the Q side. I'm skipping the demo now because I'm going to demo the polyphonic variation.
Now an 8 voices version of that would be that you just split the control variables up into 8 control variables for each voice. Then each voice looks just the same as the one signal looked before, and then you just add them up all together down here. So this is how you can directly do polyphonic sound generation in Faust. Of course, it's a bit tedious, therefore we want to use, actually, later using SuperCollider to manage this stuff. So the polyphonic synthesizer I want to show briefly to you is essentially the same cue program that I shown before, but here we have a simple, instead of using those play and damp functions directly, we have to do a voice allocation step. So I have 8 voices, I have to do voice allocation. And how do you do that in a synthesizer? You always get a free voice if you have one, otherwise you steal one, and that's usually the note which has been playing the longest. So this is the algorithm here. It's a functional specification of the usual voice allocation algorithm, which probably is also implemented on this machine and on every MIDI synthesizer you can imagine. If it's not a MIDI synthesizer with fully dynamic voice allocation. Okay. So that would be the voice allocation algorithm, and now I really want to show this. Play for only a short while. Where do I have it? Okay, I always forget to stop jacking. So let me put the mouse there. You see, now this is a very simple program, of course, but the idea was to show how you can use Faust directly to really produce sound in another programming language, in this case, Cube. So just start the function. This is the program that I showed last now, so it's the polyphonic version. Yeah, we have some sound, that's great. And I just need, because I can't really play piano very well, we need something which does this for me. Okay, so you see the notes here coming in. I added some debugging statements, and what you see rolling by are the MIDI messages and the current voice allocation. I just added a printout of that. So this is what you hear now, is this Faust DSP that I've shown you, the polyphonic 8 voices organ. Okay, maybe that suffices for that, because I'm running out of time. So, just to give you an idea, let me see what slides I have left. Yes. Yeah, so that was the first step. Now the second step was, as I said, it's a bit tedious to do polyphonic synthesis directly in Faust, because you always have to fix the number of voices in advance, and it really clutters up the code of the DSP. So it's from this point of view, it's already better if you have just make the DSP as simple as possible, a single voice, and then let a dedicated synth engine do the rest, like SuperCollider. Another reason is that, as I said, Q is an interpreted language, not really suited for low latency audio work. To just hand over all the hard real-time stuff to an engine which is really optimized for that, again, a reason to use SuperCollider. So now the stuff that I'm currently working on is, This stuff already works, that's what I've shown. The more interesting stuff, however, is this connection here. So we have SuperCollider as a synthesizer and audio engine. We have Faust as a way to produce plugins for this engine. And I'm already able to use SuperCollider via an OSC interface. So the idea now is to make this very comfortable and convenient environment
which lets you run SuperCollider and Faust plugins together and have them all controlled by Q. So in the end, the idea is that I have a complete client for SuperCollider in Q, so that I only have to resort to the SuperCollider language occasionally and can do everything else in Q. So, I won't go into that. But just to give you a brief impression what can be done with that and to lure you into attending the workshop this afternoon. One more example. We know that this is one. There we are. So this is now a brief demo of something I'm going to show this afternoon, but just to give you an idea, for this demo I just made a very simple sequencing interface which allows me to drive SuperCollider with embedded Faust plugins. So all sounds you will hear now are actually produced and processed by Faust plugins, so there are no plain SuperCollider plugins used, modules used. And I made a very simple sequencing interface which is based on the stream data type of Q, which makes it very easy to describe never-ending music, so it's which is being generated while you just read the next element from a stream. And okay, I will just let you listen to it. Pablo Strong is going in circles around here, and I have a subtractive synth on that other channel, and in the middle is this organ patch, and all are piped through a master effects chain with reverb, actually your reverb patch, and chorus. Everything is implemented in Faust, all sound processing modules implemented in Faust, and the audio handling and patching everything together is done with SuperCollider. And the streaming interface is a Q. So that's what you hear. If you want to know the details, you have to come to the workshop. Thank you.
As we run slightly out of time, I'd like to postpone the questions to the workshop. So can you just say when and where it will be?
When it's 3 o'clock. But where? I don't know.
We meet in front of the...
Yeah, meeting point for all the workshop is always the info desk, right, Asa?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Thanks again.
And I would say we make a short break of 10 minutes. And